morning, everybody. I'll just make a pre-service announcement. I'm Chris Hannah, taking the service this morning. I thank you for the invitation. I've just handed out some bits of paper for people if they wish to write down a question, a poser, to provoke discussion during the service. You don't have to, but it is 10:30, so I've asked John to collect them. So we might even do that as we start the service, if that's all right, and or maybe people can hand them back to John and he can bring them up or something like that. But we should begin.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
There are many joys available to us in life. Enjoying nature, enjoying family, but of course there are also challenges. As we get older, our health, our bodies aren't what they used to be. We pray for forbearance and healing as we get older. We long for peace and comfort. Let us take every opportunity to share good times with our friends and family. It is good for the soul. It helps keep us young. As we ponder the relationship between the First Nations community of this great land and everyone else in our community, we may approach it with a mixture of joy and concern. Let us be thankful that there is an emerging generation of Aboriginal leaders who are articulate and more than reasonable in seeking for their voice to be heard in modern Australia. And let us also recall with some regret the impact of colonisation on Aboriginal people, the effects of which linger today. May there be healing and may there be full reconciliation between all peoples in our country. Now I'd like to invite Christine to come up with the reading for today, which in a way reflects the joys and concerns of life. A letter that was written by a Franciscan friar in 1513, just over 500 years ago. And it's such a beautiful short message that he was writing to a lady, obviously, with whom he was in correspondence. Christine, thank you.
I salute you. I am your friend, and my love for you goes deep. There is nothing I can give you which you have not. But there is much, very much, that, while I cannot give it, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in it today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future, which is not hidden in this present little instant. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. There is radiance and glory in darkness, could we but see. And to see, we have only to look. I beseech you to look. Life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly or heavy or hard. Remove the covering and you will find beneath it a living splendor, woven of love by wisdom, with power. Welcome it, grasp it, and you touch the angel's hand that brings it to you. Everything we call a trial, a sorrow, a duty, believe me, that angel's hand is there. The gift is there, and the wonder of an overshadowing presence. Your joys, too, be not content with them as joys. They, too, conceal diviner gifts. Life is so full of meaning and purpose, so full of beauty beneath its covering, that you will find earth but cloaks your heaven. Courage then to claim it, that is all. But courage you have, and the knowledge that we are pilgrims together, wending through unknown country, home.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. Oh, I think that was absolutely brilliant. It's less than a week ago I asked Brendan to come up with something like the Q&A theme from the ABC show, and that was just perfect and really captured, I think, more than I've ever heard on television, the questioning sort of theme throughout it. A little bit of the turbulence of life, a little bit of anxiety, and that is the perfect introduction to what we're about to do. Now, some of you may think that I have just gone to extreme lengths to avoid preparing a written message for this morning. But, in fact, I think most people up the front here would find this a more difficult exercise. Now, I haven't looked at these messages, these questions that the congregation have come up with, so I don't really need to shuffle them. And please forgive me at the outset. Well, there's no way I'm going to get through all of them. I'm sure you appreciate that. So randomly, I'm going to pick out a couple of questions. So if your question isn't picked out, quite happy to have a chat with you afterwards, but we won't have time during the service this morning. So I'm going to pick the first one out at random, and I also reserve the right not to read out the full question, you know, so forgive the censorship, but I have to keep it short. So here we go. The first question is, can the Unitarian principles and sources be a blueprint for organising society? Wow. I thought we would have a lot of excellent questions, and that is quite profound. The first thing is to recognise that we, I'll include myself since I'm here this morning, we are this little group who appreciate and adhere to those principles of the Unitarian Universalist movement. Out there is the world, and there are a whole range of different agendas out there. Some are religious and have all political and have dogma attached to them. Most people, I dare say, are just bumbling along. Most people, if you ask them, they'll have some sort of superstition or belief in the supernatural, but it's perhaps incoherent and something that they'll come to only in a time of crisis when they can't comprehend the personal experience that they're going through. What we have with the seven principles are rational and compassionate ways of organising this group of people, but indeed they are ways of approaching the world which the whole world would benefit from. I suppose the problem is, as soon as you go out and start proselytising and saying, hey everybody, why don't you do things and ask these seven questions or approach things in these ways, it becomes a dogma and people start reacting to it. I think the answer is yes to the question. The question is how to go about it, how to spread the love and caring and compassion and the rational approach to life that is embodied in this group with the world. And I think the short answer is to live exemplary lives so that in your interactions with others, you are demonstrating those Unitarian Universalist principles. Not judging people, paying attention to people, supporting people, caring for people, loving people, and living as wisely as you can. All right. One could go on and on. I mean, each of these questions could be an entire Sunday. You know, I think you've got the rest of the year mapped out right here. All right, I'm going to take another one. Here we go. Also a nice short question, thank you. How can we see and feel the presence of the divine? Well, that's certainly a question close to my heart. Doesn't it tie in well with the reading that we've heard? The brother Giacomo, 500 years ago, consoling this lady. It seems a letter of consolation. She seems to be troubled in some way. And he is saying, you know, the divine is actually here. It is actually present. Look beyond the covering of things. And indeed, I would invite everyone to do that. Now, I'm aware that in this group there may be people who are, let's say, theist and even maybe atheist or agnostic, whatever. All I can say is that on that spectrum, I'm one who has experienced something more than the materialist world. So having experienced a sense of the divine, I can't shake it, I can't deny it, I can't go back on it. It is there. And so like Brother Giacomo was saying, I would just invite people to seek that experience, and in time I think it will be found. Having said that, I think one of the greatest obstacles is not the fact that people have messed up the Bible by writing messages hundreds of years after Jesus was teaching and putting in all sorts of things that suited their theology of the day. The problem is not that we have a terrible government over here and a war over there. The biggest challenge, actually, I think, is our own ego. Our mind thinks it is the master of everything, and I would suggest there's a certain arrogance in that. By all means, I am suggesting that we approach life rationally. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But at the same time, all of the peoples of the world, from primitive times to modern times, will have a language for living with the spirit, somehow letting the mind rest and going with the flow. That's sort of the modern cliche, isn't it? Go with the flow. In other words, if you take the controls off, you find that actually it works. There is a divine presence that still provides solutions. We can't figure it all out for ourselves, because even with the best minds, there are just too many variables. And indeed, we're dealing with other people, and other people don't have to be rational. So it becomes very hard to control everything and manage everything with our minds, no matter how smart we are. So I think there's a time and a place for letting go of that. It reminds me a bit of riding a bicycle when I was a late developer riding a bicycle, because I was damn scared of what would happen if I, you know, took the trainer wheels off and took my legs off the ground. You know, the sideways movement, I'm going to land on my shoulder. And riding a bike is all about getting up to speed. It doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen without some preparedness. But at some point, you let go and you just go for it, and it works. I'm not sure I can describe it any better than that, but I think all of the great religions and the great poets of the world described it better than I could. But very good question, thank you. Okay, we'll see how we go. We'll do at least one more. What are the limits to tolerance? A very good question. Because we are invited to be compassionate to all. We are invited to be respectful, even with people who have very different views to us. That can be an awesome challenge, let's face it, with some of the views which seem destructive, hateful, judgmental, and that might be on an individual level, it might be a government of the world, it could be a group of people. I suppose it comes back to the fact that we're in a democratic society where all of these voices have a right to be heard. And the important thing for us is to be the light in the darkness. Let's not deny the darkness is there. That there is hate, there is racism, there is sexism, all of that is out there. And we need to look very carefully, perhaps within ourselves to an extent as well. But the best way to cope with it is, as I say, to live exemplary lives, as challenging as that is, to be compassionate, to be caring. But yes, I would agree there are limits to tolerance, in the sense that we don't have to go along with someone. We don't have to support someone just because they're in the room. If somebody is expressing hateful speech, or a government or a group is putting forward a message which is going to cause a lot of people grief and distress because it's hateful in some way, we can think about ways to deal with it which are not tolerant of the hateful message, but remain compassionate towards the speaker. That's the challenge. Not to compromise in relation to hate, but to remember always that that person is coming from a position where they've experienced perhaps neglect, hate, subjection to domination or cruelty, whatever it might be, that has led them to express hate. It doesn't mean that we should ever go along with the message, and we have our own democratic means of countering it through going to the protest on the street, to being clear and firm in conversation that we're not going to accept that, through voting. But at the same time, we can, I would say, retain compassion for those who are putting forward hateful speech, difficult as it may be at times. There's a lot of talk of tolerance in our society, but in fact, the reason we have our laws is that there are limits to tolerance. You can't go and punch people in the face. If you do, that's not tolerated, and there are consequences. So I think the same thing does apply, even in conversation, obviously in a milder sort of way. I'll try one more question, and apologies to the others. So this question, is coincidence really the manifestation of destiny? Well, I'm immediately going back to the works of Carl Jung, someone I have a great respect for. I think his works are a useful bridge between many centuries of religious experience and the modern understanding of the psyche. He was one who would appreciate that there is more to life than the material, although he never really defined it. But he did talk of numinous experience, some experience of the soul, perhaps, that goes beyond the sheer mechanics of materialism. And so he put forward the principle of synchronicity, the idea that when we are manifesting something from our own subconscious, that it will somehow click with circumstances in the world, so that we are in particular need of a reminder from someone to be compassionate, and then all of a sudden we get into a conversation with someone who says, wow, it's so important to be compassionate to people. I mean, a trivial example. But there are, of course, trivial things that happen that we don't concern ourselves with, but there are really significant things that happen in our lives, and I am one who's quite willing to accept that they happen for a reason, that it's not just coincidence. Whether that be a divine plan or whether that be the working out of our own subconscious and our need for self-realization, that is something for you to ponder. Look, I think I've shared enough. It's more difficult than you think to sort of come up with things on the spot, but I hope in all of that I've provided some food for thought. Let us take a moment of silence to consider those questions and answers, and again I'll say a short prayer whereby you might either wish to continue contemplating or join with me in prayer. Let us steadfastly continue our work in becoming a better person. Let us always be ready to accept compassionately that others have different ways of approaching self-realization, or one might say becoming closer to the divine. And please let us be humble in the face of teachings with which we are not familiar. Let us be humble in the face of others' experience of life and their way to self-realization. As I go to extinguish the candle, let us keep the image of the flame with us in the week ahead as a symbol of the illumination we seek as a symbol of the spirit with which we can live and work and interact. Let us look for opportunities to serve others through this next week. Let us take every opportunity to be kind to others in this next week.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.